We're in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, one of the great chapters of the Bible, to say the least. It is so full of promises and so full of blessings. We're going to approach it as if I'm the lawyer and you're sitting in my office with you're all the family and you've got an inheritance, and I'm going to read to you the last will and testament. And you get to see all the blessings that you get from your father. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans is a chapter of abundant blessings. It's one of the most freeing chapters for a Christian that I can think of. And just as an introduction, I wanted to just do a slight flyby and look at some of the thoughts. And yesterday, I was sitting out in the backyard, and I saw the birds along our fence and on the hillside behind us take off and come back to their feeders. And then they came back really quickly. I thought, that's strange. I looked around. There was nothing around in the sky. And then all of a sudden, they took off a second time, and just fast as lightning, this red-tailed hawk swooped down out of nowhere, but these little guys knew he was there. He was trying to get them, and came down to maybe 5 feet above the ground, came at a circle around me. His wings were at shoulder level. He went right towards the little guys that were remaining at the feeder and shot straight up and then went down into a valley. I said, man alive, that was kind of spooky that he would do that, you know. Well, we're going to do a slower flyby, and it's not going to be spooky because some of you haven't been here as we've taken our time going through Romans. It's a basic building block for churches and for Christians. And the basic walk in the Spirit is found here. So I'd like to just point out just how rich it was in our last several messages, just out of the 8th chapter. We looked at verse 1, no condemnation. What a thought that you and I have no condemnation if we're in Jesus Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No guilt. You don't need to walk around with guilt. If you've asked forgiveness, God has given you forgiveness. What a thought. No condemnation. And there are people that walk around town that are condemned. They condemn themselves because they know what this weekend that they did was wrong. But in Christ Jesus, we have the strength to keep away from that which is wrong and to make the right decisions, he teaches us. Second verse, he's made me free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm a free man. There's nothing binding. This world cannot do anything to me. And life after this life will be even better. I am not condemned, and God has every right to condemn me. But he says he loves me, and he's made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of sin and death says you sin, you die. The law of sin and death says that you are a creature that of habit, that has a mindset to be carnal and fleshly, and you're headed towards death. That when you die, you die. But this verse told us that that law doesn't work with us, that we're in Christ Jesus, and he died for us, so we're going to live, and we're going to live greater. In the third verse, he told us God what God did by sending his own son, the present that he gave us. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. I have no condemnation, but sin has been condemned because of what Jesus did. The fourth verse, he told us, who do not walk according to the flesh. And before we knew it, we didn't know that you could walk in the flesh or the spirit, that we had a choice. We just struggled, and it's religion that we hung on to for years, maybe, or as children, we walked away from religion. And Jesus isn't religion. He's relationship. And in this relationship, the fourth verse says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So his own law has been stopped, that our spirits can grow and they can know the Lord Jesus. In the fifth verse, we saw that we have a mindset. It's our mind and we set it. And you're sitting here today with a mindset. You've set your mind in concrete. And instead of being flexible and choosing the Lord's walk in the Spirit, the mindset is like having cement in your feet, that you're just going to be a carnal woman or a carnal man, always going after fleshly things. But here in the fifth verse, he said, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh," what we can eat, what we can drink, what we're going to wear, all the things of the flesh, and worrying about it. Set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, on the things of the Spirit. So now we realize that we can have a new mindset. And we were never taught this in schools, public schools. We were never trained on seminars of walking in the Spirit on a cable network or a TV channel. We were never encouraged to be spiritual people in this world around us. We are always encouraged to be carnal people going after the flesh. And then in the sixth verse, he told us to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. So we should live life. The seventh verse, the highlight he gave us was because, and this is the reason you walk in the Spirit and be spiritually minded, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's hostile. The worldly mindset and the worldly mind is at war with God. That's why political correctness has swept all over our country, and people are using the silliest things to keep the things of God out of public view, because it's at hostility. It's in enmity against God. The carnal producers and directors and funders, they're against God in their minds. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can the carnal mind be subject to the law of God. And then we saw that in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot, absolutely cannot please God. And we were brought up and raised to please everyone. And when we got older and we moved out, we found out that we didn't please everyone. And this verse tells us that if we're in the flesh, we're very unpleasing to God. If we're a carnal-minded man or a carnal-minded woman, we are unpleasing to God. And actually, we cannot please Him. But when we're spiritually minded, it's pleasing to our Father. So those are some of the highlights that we've gone over. And I would like to pick up our study this morning, if we look at it there, verse 12. Would you please stand with me and we'll read verse 12 through 17 together. Okay? I'll start at verse 12. I'll do the even-numbered verses, and you, together in unison, do the odd-numbered. You do 13 and 15 and 17. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. The Spirit Himself," the Holy Spirit is a person, Himself. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And Lord, we now lay these verses before you that the Holy Ghost could breathe upon them and bring them to life for us. We pray for everyone that is here that they could learn of what power they have in being your daughter or your son, and what power is here to protect them from the evil one and to lead them and guide them through every situation in their life. So, Father, we pray that you would block all distractions, cell phones, beepers, horns, anything. Just let us focus on you right now. And I pray, Father, that you would release some people that are bound up in their spirits because they just feel so guilty and condemned at their lifestyles. And yet you are saying here that once we surrender to you, we are not condemned. So we thank you, Father, that you've given us an advocate, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that in his name we can pray and lay our burdens at your feet. And so now as we get these great blessings from heaven, please broaden our heart, widen it, deepen it, that we can be godly men and godly women, fearing nothing in this world, but honoring you in all ways. And we ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Therefore, brethren, I think I've already shared this three times in this study with you, but when you see the word therefore, you want to look for the wherefore. The wherefore is everything leading up to the therefore. It's telling you what's going on, and because of that, therefore, here's what's going to happen. So you always look for the wherefore when you see the therefore. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Now, debt is something that our country knows about big time. The national debt is getting so large, it's $524,000 that each one of us have had tacked on to our bill with Washington, D.C. the last 3 years. But we are not debtors to this flesh. We owe this flesh zip, nada, zilch, nothing. But in 40 years of counseling, I have found out that some people feel guilty about letting their old nature go. Let me explain that to you. They feel guilty because who they've been their whole life, they are now realizing by faith they have to let that go and let their identity no longer be in them, but be in Christ Jesus. And that's a step of faith. You have to let the old sinful nature go and then trust God. But if you're a person who says, I will do that, but you aren't a person that's feeding in the scripture, you have no way to do it or learn it without his instruction. If you're not a person that's inclined to prayer, you will not get all the help that you can get. But if you are a person that's willing to get the most they can while here on earth to be a pleasing person to God, then naturally, once you surrender, you are a person that will love the scripture and you will love prayer. Those two things especially. Because you can be on a desert island, as they say, and I've never seen an island in the desert, but you can be somewhere, there's nobody or anything, but if you have your Bible, you've got everything. Because you can read and the Holy Spirit communicates through the scriptures, and you can talk to heaven, and heaven will respond to you. So we are debtors. But what are we a debtor to? Who do we owe? We're debtors not to the flesh. I owe nothing to this flesh except to keep it physically, mentally healthy. So, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't have to live according to the flesh. We can say no to things that we shouldn't do, and we absolutely know we shouldn't be doing. So it's just a matter of saying no and being strong. For if you live according to the flesh, this is emphatic, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we're not a debtor to the flesh, and we owe it to ourselves, so we're in debt to ourselves, to realize that if we let the flesh and its appetites starve themselves out and let God's word transform you with the renewing of your mind, you're going to be a new person. You will see lines differently. You'll see crowds differently. I remember one night in Cuba that we were in Havana, and there was some festival type thing going on, and we walked through this huge crowd, and there's a couple of things I noticed right off the bat. There were young women, 12, 13, 14, 15, and older men sitting together, holding hands, kissing, and that stuck out to me by the hundreds. And then the second thing was the glassy eyes and how many young men were either sniffing glue or something, whatever they can get there to make them stone, but in the hundreds. And when you see a society that's overrun with drugs, you see a society that has no hope. Drugs take away hope because the only hope you have is to have another fix, to get high again. And you want hope. We have no hope that is coming to us from our leadership. There's not one word of hope. If we do this, this will happen. But God always gives hope. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, on the other hand, this is what's going to happen. If you feed your flesh, you're going to die an eternal death. But if you feed your spirit, you're going to live an eternal life. God always gives hope. And when you take the word of God as a word of hope to you, then it starts unfolding in your life and you realize that the Lord will bless you. And he will do it over and over and over and over again. So I'm not in debt to my flesh. I don't owe anything to any addictions or anything that would be displeasing to God. I owe it to myself to get the best out of life, and the best out of life is to rescue myself out of the old life and let Jesus take charge. So, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. There's no bill that can be presented by the devil that they owe me this, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me and made me free, and the bill has been paid. For if you live according to the flesh, it is emphatic that you will die. You'll die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. Life and death. Now, this is exactly what was told to Moses and the children of Israel. Would you turn back to Deuteronomy with me for a moment to chapter 39? Numbers, Deuteronomy. And let's go to chapter 30. Verse 11, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you. So what he's saying doesn't have to be a mystery, nor is it too far off. It's way beyond you. You don't understand. Everything he has to tell you is very simple, but profound. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into the heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. Would you read the last part of this with me? In your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. That's how close God's word is to you. It is in your mouth. You just spoke it just now, and it's in your heart. You don't have to do something for the organization to prove that you deserve salvation. And there are many cults and organizations that say to their members, you've got to do this. You must do this. For 2 years, you go here. And they direct people's lives. And God is the only one that should be directing our lives. Not man or organization. So he makes it very clear in his blessings that the word of God, the commandment for them today, is not a mystery. And it's not as if you'd say, well, who can we send up to heaven to get this word of God and bring it down to us? Or it's not too far out of reach for you that you'd say, who can we get that's more spiritual than us that would go a long distance and bring us this word of God? It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that you may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I've set before you today. That's for us too. This is before us. I've set before you today good life and good death and evil. It's your choice. Walk in the Spirit, you'll get death and evil. Get life. Well, that'd be horrible. You get life and good. But walk in the flesh, as Paul's saying in Romans, you're going to get death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, he says, so that you do not hear God's word anymore, and you are drawn away and you worship other gods and you serve them, then I announce to you this very day, the therefore, that you shall surely perish. See, he's not being a mean God of judgment. He's putting it all on you and me, in context, on the Israelites. You make the choices. God has laid it out for you. You can go this way where most of the people are going. It's a very broad way. Or you can go this way where a smaller group is going. It's a very narrow path. And it's sometimes off the beaten path, you think. Because when the rich man had the wedding feast for his son, he invited all of his rich buddies from the country club. And none of them would come. They had other things more important. So he got angry when his servants told him that. And he said, you go out into the highways, which is the broad way, and into the roads and the lanes, narrower, and the paths, now you're walking, and into the bushes. Go along any freeway in Southern California into the bushes and bring some homeless people. Go down and get the people that society has rejected off the narrow lanes and paths and bring them to my house. And when they did that, they say, here, Master, we brought so many, but still, this place is only half full. And he says, get to work, guys. So now he sets before us blessing. And he invites us to make the decision. Do we want to go to heaven? And if we do, it's not a bunch of things that you do. It's your faith that you live by. Somebody recently said to me, well, you're mad at me because I don't believe your religion. I said, no, I'm not mad at you because you don't believe my religion. I don't have a religion. I have faith in God. And I believe that he speaks to me through the word, through the scriptures, through the Bible. So I study to show myself approved, a workman unto God that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Before I was a minister, I just spent hours a day reading the Bible. I had a choice come to me one day. Either be a wealthy Christian businessman and give my money to the causes of the Lord, or be a minister and don't think about anything. Let God give it to you. And I took be the minister. Now, from that place, I had a whole different set of opportunities. From the other way, I would have had other opportunities. But I would have got lost over here because I would have wanted to take some of that money and comfort myself. But over here, my life is totally different. I'm not trying to get anything. I'm trying to give everything. So today you have opportunity. And if you're carnally minded, you're going to think about all the benefits of you choosing what will best bless you. But if you're spiritually minded, you will make a choice that means you're going to have to die to yourself somewhere and give something up that your flesh really hangs on to, and then follow the Lord. Live by faith. Now, not everybody is called to be a pastor or a priest or a preacher, but everybody in the body of Christ is called to be a minister. We're all ministers. That's a servant. The greatest in the kingdom, Jesus Christ said, will become the servant of all. The servant. So here he now tells them this theme that Paul had studied in all the Old Testament, all of his life. He now is putting it into New Testament context of people that can walk with the Lord day by day. So let's see what he says here in Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today, life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. Keep them. Why? That you may live and multiply. Live and multiply. What does he mean by multiply? We can think about the word live, and all of us live different types of lives, but what does he mean multiply? You see, when hope is taken away from an individual, multiplication doesn't come into their vocabulary because they don't have hope. And if there's an insidious propaganda move, psychological warfare against a people, and we know there are agencies, that's what they do. They go and soften up an area that the war is going to take place. They get psychologically inclined and trained personnel that go in and figure out how to write a leaflet and where is the best place to drop it off and how to infiltrate the television and the radio and get the new message going so people start thinking differently. So, God says, you turn away so that you do not hear. But he wants you to multiply. How can I multiply? He wants me to pull, my heart turns away so that you do not hear and you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I announce to you this very day that you shall perish. We've gone after the god of oil, Mammon, the god of money and power. Our leaders have taken us everywhere but to our knees. They should be ashamed of themselves, even the Christian ones. And I know it's rough, but either we're a Christian or we're not a Christian. The basics. God sets before us a choice in everything. This is going to bless and prosper, multiply you, your wife, your children, your husband. It's going to just bless you. It's going to take a little longer, but over here, that's a shortcut, and it's going to curse you. You're going to die. You get to make the decisions, and you have an advocate with the Father, so you can, through intercessory prayer, pray for others and they for you, but you have an accuser of the brethren that is daily accusing you before God. He knows all the reports. He can't be in all places at one time. He has demons everywhere. They have photographs. They have recordings. They know everything about you, and they have a game plan given to them by their boss. And those demons just work on us and pound on us and chip away at us. And we don't even know that the bottom's coming out. They're just slowly pulling the rug out from underneath us till we flop and we're down on the ground. Now we have no hope. You see, with propaganda machines, they want to take hope out of a society so that they'll see the enemy as a savior. Hope and change. Those two things. If your hope is taken away, the change that comes is the change of an enemy. But if hope is built up to a people or a village, they have so much hope, it releases faith, and God can bless them and minister through them, and never would another government or person be the Savior, but that hope would point to God, who is our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if there's an enemy of our country, one of the psychological warfare games that is being played is the word hope and change being big and then not getting any hope but a lot of loose change. You understand what I'm saying? Did I tell you about this red-tailed hawk? He just out of nowhere and he came around right by my shoulders, then straight up. He was taking pictures the whole way. But if your heart turns away, God says, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this very moment, just like I'm telling you, I want to bless you this morning, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth. Would you underline that, please? I call heaven and earth as witnesses. You need two or more, and he's got two. All of heaven and all of earth. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Now, I just got through taking a college exam, and I like that professor because he gave us all a sheet, and he said, if you'll just study these words and these concepts, you'll be able to pass the test without any problem. And that's what God's doing here. I have a witness, it's heaven and earth. I've set before you life and death, and I've put before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He gives you the answer to the quiz. Choose life. You want to live. You want to be happy. You don't want to be depressed, and you don't want to be down. You don't want to be angry. You don't want to be mad. You don't want to be bitter. You don't want to be frustrated. You want to be happy. Full of life and joy abundantly. For Jesus said, I have come to bring them life and life more abundantly. You want to bubble over like an artesian well. Not one that's been dug through hard labor, but just bubbles up within you because God's Spirit lives within you. I've set before you heaven and earth. I've called heaven and earth before you to lay before you blessings and life, or cursing and death. Therefore, you choose that both you and your descendants may live. You choose life. If he had just said, you choose, many of us wouldn't make the right decision. So he says the answer for us, choose life, and here's what's going to happen. You and your offspring, your other generations, your descendants, will live. My great-grandmother, Lane, chose life in Ireland. And they were very, very poor. And they immigrated to the United States in Oregon. And then my father, Scottish great-grandfather, immigrated to the United States into Oregon from Scotland. And so my father is Scotch, my mother is Irish, so they're Scotch and Irish, and I was a little soda. And life came. I got my opportunity to live my life. On one side, from Scotland, alcoholism followed those people to Portland, Oregon. On the other side, spirituality and the Bible and Jesus and prayer came. And that side, the descendants, I'm the descendant of a godly great-grandmother and grandfather, and their child was a minister, David McIntosh, David Lane, married my grandmother, who is an intercessor prayer warrior, and I'm the fruit of her prayers. So my descendants, I'm trying the best I can to be a godly man, that at least they will see I live what I believe. And that's the only chance I'll get, other than loving them and the little guys, you know, on top of their head with my knuckles and tickling them, and is to always remind them about Jesus and to never walk away from Jesus. And always ask Jesus to help you when you take a test at school. Talk to the Lord when people are being mean to you or bullying you. God wants to be in all of your lives and make it so simple that as they grow, he's in their heart. So God gives a witness and he tells you the answer. And the reason is, in verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him. Remember the woman that grabbed a hold of his robe and wouldn't let go, and she was healed? And Jesus said, who touched me? Your God, that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. For he is your life. He is not a religion, it's a person. God's your life. And the length of your days. So he's filling my days from the time I was a toddler till I go to heaven. He's filling my days. That you may dwell in the land, this promised land that God has, which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. You see, the promises he gives to us. We don't work for them. He gives to us. The will and testament is going to be read. And now you're sitting here waiting to see, what did your father give to you? So as we finish here, the 8th chapter of Romans, let us take a quick look here before we go home at the blessings that you have inherited. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you're going to live. For as many as are led, not driven, for as many as are led, we should never be driven to go do something for God. We should be led by God to go. And when you are where God wants you to be, the blessings are amazing. I can remember a festival de vida we did in a town in Mexico. And about 3 or 4 months before the event happened, we'd been working a year and a half on it or so. We had a dinner for the government officials and for the church leaders that helped organize this, and all the business people. And it was at a nice hotel, and Maria del Sol got up and sang, and then I got up to speak. But on my right was the mayor, and on my left was the governor's wife. The governor's wife was in her 20s. She was very young. The mayor had a daddy who was the previous governor of that state, and he was sick in the hospital and couldn't make it. In fact, he died while the festival was there, and God put me in the right place at the right time to be at that funeral service. And after we finished, before that funeral service, 4 or 5 days before at the dinner, she finished the dinner, dessert, kissed me on the cheek, and said, "I heard God's word speak to me. You can have anything you want in this city." I said, "Wow." The governor's wife leaned over and said, "I heard God speak to me. Could you speak to my husband, who is the governor, and he's an alcoholic?" I said, "Wow." Doors just flung open. And they absolutely did. They went way overboard to allow our team to minister to the entire city, for as many as are led. I don't want to push for something and then come to you and say, "Well, here's what we're doing, but we don't have the money to do it, so you've got to give it." Well, no, you don't have to give it. We're led by the Spirit. Then God's going to provide. When God guides, God provides. So we learn by that, by our mistakes. And since God is a God of mercy and His mercy endures forever, we learn about mercy when we come with our broken hearts to God. So He says in closing, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again." No, I'm not in bondage. Are you? Nope. "Bondage to fear. I fear nothing but God. But you received, it was given to you. You didn't go out and earn it. You received the spirit of adoption. Now you're adopted, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" And that word "Abba" is not a Swedish music group. A-B-B-A. That is a word that is so unique. And those of you who are going to Israel, you will hear this word on the streets and markets. You're going to hear it all over with little children. But I was there with a tour group one time, sitting by the swimming pool of the hotel, and I just wanted to rest. The jet lag had me, so I wanted to be fresh before the 150 people showed up. So I was sitting there, and I was reading, and all of a sudden I put my book down and said, "Ah, this is it." So quiet. "Abba! Abba, Abba, Abba!" "What? Oh no, there's a family next here with this little Abba girl. Come on." She's just screaming so shrill. No wonder her hair is so curly. So I said, "Oh, geesh, okay." So Daddy got in the pool and was going to show her safety in the pool. So he takes her and she goes across the pool and she's going, "Abba, Abba, Abba, Abba." She just freaked out and he stops and says, he talks to her very calmly, takes her to the other side of the pool, brings her all the way back and says, "See, you did it. You did it. Now you need to just do it by yourself." And all the way across, it was like a splitting headache. "Abba, Abba, 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 Abba." He said, "Keep paddling." She'd paddle. "Abba, Abba, 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 Abba." And then she got to the other side and I said, "Oh, here we go. Another screaming exercise of patience and faith." And she comes the other way and she's, "Abba, Abba, 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 Abba." And she's halfway and she's doing it and she doesn't say a word. Abba literally means in their language, "Daddy. Daddy, 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 I'm so scared of the water. Daddy, 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 I'm going to drown. Daddy, 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 stay with me. Daddy, daddy, don't let go of me. Daddy, daddy, I can't go back by myself. Daddy, 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 never mind, old dude, I got it." Right? Just her intonation and how she took the word up, calling on her dad for help, showed that she thought she really needed help. But when her daddy is holding on to her, and she's holding on to daddy, that's all the help you need. The problem is that many times we get away from daddy and we get ourselves in the middle of a storm and the water's going to overwhelm us and we're all of a sudden now crying out, "Daddy, daddy, daddy," when he could take us walking across the water, but we never give him that opportunity because we don't have the hope that will change things, that I will have faith, that I can now walk on water. But when you get to the place that he says in this verse, you didn't receive the spirit of adoption again. You're not going back into the Jewish religions that bring fear to you, but you receive the adoption by whom we cry out, "Daddy, Father." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Father, but even more intimately, and it's not disrespectful, Daddy. Daddy. So free in the heart. Daddy. And it's not like all of a sudden you can tell the people that don't pray. is because when they're in a position that they have to pray at the dinner table or in front of a large audience, they get these big, huge prayers, you know, boom, bombastic, and just, oh. But if you're in a conversation with somebody, you'd look at your friend and say, you're nuts. You're completely nuts. We were just talking. What's up? Now all of a sudden you're trying to impress the people around you that you talk to me? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes that shows you that people aren't praying, because if they're regular prayers, it's conversation. And so you and I have been adopted. We can now cry out that the will and testament is the Father has us free. The Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. Yes, you are God's children, and He is your daddy. And if we are children, then we are heirs. We are the inheritors, the heirs of God. Later, we will see in another study in Romans that everything in the universe, everything everywhere, was ultimately created for your good pleasure. But the devil has stolen it from us, and he charges us admission to the things that God created for our good pleasure. If we're children, we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You are the heir. You're joint heirs with Jesus. All that he receives from the Father is yours. You get the blessings that God gave to his only begotten Son. His Son gets the blessings for bringing you home for dinner. And you get all that eternity has laid out for you at no expense to yourself, but to walk by faith and not by sight. Do not forget this statement all week long. God is madly in love with you. He's not mad at you. He's got an inheritance for you. And if you keep ducking him and hiding from him, you'll never get the inheritance, and the devil wins. But if you say, okay, open up the inheritance, give it to me, you're never going to be the same woman or the same man. And though we suffer, and our next message will be that, we go through the sufferings so that we can experience the glorification that Jesus did. And the sufferings, God knows that you're able to bear, or he would not let them into your life. You're an heir. You're a joint heir through Jesus Christ to God. Every stitch of galaxy or universe that's out there, every raindrop, every flower bud, every wild creature, every beautiful sunset, they're all yours. It's all yours. And the greatest gift is this power inside of you to love other people. It's one of the greatest honors we have, is to share God's love with other people. And when they find that love is trustworthy, worthy of their trust, then the greatest gift you have coming back is the fact that somebody trusts you and they know you will not harm them behind their back or in front of you. That's called a friend. Amen. Your family and your friends are the greatest assets you have. And may your descendants beyond you, should the Lord tarry, may your descendants receive the blessings, because you took the choice, I'm choosing life, I'm taking the blessings. And may your life be blessed while you are here, waiting upon our Master. Shall we stand and shall we pray? No bondage, pure adoption, no fees to pay. Abba, Father, Daddy, we love you, Daddy. Our Father and our God, as we bow our hearts before you, we are so very grateful that you have a way of speaking through a time tunnel, that as we look at what St. Paul said in the first century, we can go all the way back to when you were building faith in the Jewish community and leading them to a promised land and using heaven and witness as your collateral or your witnesses that what you're going to say is true, that people have to make a choice to choose life, which will bring blessing, or to choose death, which will bring cursing. And we know that's very, very simple. But we also know that the devil can blind our eyes and he can let us only see one side of the coin. So for all that are on the radio, the internet, the overflow rooms, this gymnasium, Lord, that can hear my voice, I pray for those that have chosen death and the curses of God, that you would forgive them. They weren't well informed. May you forgive them right now, Father. May they receive their inheritance in Christ Jesus as a joint heir to his throne, that we will reign as kings and priests with him. For those people that are listening to this message, would you please have forgiveness and let that yoke of bondage be taken off of them right now, Father. Let them cry out to you and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned against you, and I want life, and I want your blessings, and I want Jesus to take control of my life. And then, Lord, may you flood our hearts with your love. Like a river, it could flow through us to bring life to San Diego and to America. That we're willing to pray and intercede that the blessings that have been robbed from the people of our great country, we're not really even wanting those that would be super to have, but we're wanting salvation for our country. We want the mockers and the scoffers off the streets. We want those that love you to be lifted up as a bright light. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Fill us with your blessings and the inheritance of all God's people. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, did you make a decision that you don't want to live the life you're living that is cursed, it seems like? There's nothing good that's growing in your life. It's always one hassle after another. And have you decided to make a choice for the blessings and to receive God's life through Jesus? And if that is your desire, that's his desire. He already told the answer, choose life that you may live. Is that you? And if it is, while others are praying, would you look up at me and raise your hand that I could see you? I'd like to remember you in prayer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Straight through the middle, two of you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Lord, you've seen these hands. What's even greater is you know the hearts. These men and women want your blessings, and you said they could have it. They've chosen life. They want to receive it. Father, be true to your word and bring life into these lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.